It's that time, the Betting Predators podcast, where our main objective is hunting down the best bets for you. I'm your host, Sleepy J. You guys can find me on Twitter at SleepyJ_pregame, joined here by the football gurus, football fanatics. Got Uncle Dave in the house. You guys can find him on Twitter at Dave_Essler. Also have Steve Reeder in the house. You guys can get him on Twitter as well at AvoidTheVig. You guys can always get us at TheBettingPredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. All right, guys, here we go. NFL Week 13. Myself, Uncle Dave, Steve, going to go ahead and break down six key football games for you guys this week. Getting down the nitty-gritty, a couple more weeks, and then we'll be talking, hot and heavy playoffs. Still some marquee games there, and we're going to cover a bunch of them here on this podcast. Let's go ahead. Let's kick it off here with the Vikings and the Jets. Current line in this game right now, Vikings -3. We have a total of 44.5. Steve, kicking it over to you first for this one. Vikings, Jets, what do you got?
Yeah, so much of this game comes down to how much stock you're putting into the Jets' win versus the Bears. And the Bears team that traded two of their best defensive players in the season and had their third injured in the game, whose quarterback was out with injury, who just might be one of the most valuable quarterbacks in the league. I'm not talking about how good he is, but I think he's that valuable to the offense. The backup quarterback who got injured in pregame warm-ups. And to be fair, I was on the Bears +6 earlier in the week before the injury news broke. But by kickoff, I had a sizable wager on the Jets and a teaser and the team total under. In my opinion, the Jets 31-10 drubbing was more about the Bears than it was the Jets. It's a great story, and I don't want to be dismissive of Mike White. Anyone who goes 22 of 28 for 315 yards and three touchdowns had an extremely impressive day. But we've seen Mike White before. He's certainly an upgrade over Zach Wilson, but that's more of an indictment on Wilson than it's a compliment to White. The Jets also have cluster injuries at the running back with Michael Carter going down and Breece Hall on the IR. I'm not exactly high on the Vikings either. In those two losses to the Eagles and the Cowboys, the Vikings posted only 10 points. Both games were against the defenses that were 1 and 2 against the pass, and actually the Jets round out the top 5 in the defense category. And in the fact that the Jets are a top 6 run against the run, I think the Vikings could be hard-pressed to score points. I gave out Minnesota -3 at the look ahead, but with the upgrade of the Jets, I mean, that's pretty much what I'm making the game at this point. And I was going to give out the under. There was a 46 that was on the board yesterday at DraftKings. Now down to 44.5. I'm no longer interested. I do think it was too much of a move, but obviously the market self-corrected here. So right now I'm sitting this one out.
All right. For me, it's a little tricky with this one. I know there's money coming in here on the Jets. And people are a little bit high here on Mike White. And look, as you said, Mike White, he is an upgrade over Zach Wilson. He's like peaks and valleys, though. If you go back to some of the games last year, and I've watched this guy, I've actually been kind of a fan of his a little bit. He does have some peak and valley type of games. He reminds me of Brett Favre, believe it or not. He's just, he doesn't have the, that upside that Favre had. Like, Favre would throw more interceptions. He would throw more touchdowns, actually, to less interceptions. And Mike White's kind of, the opposite. He's going to throw more interceptions than he has touchdowns. He'll take all those chances and shit like that. He'll try to get balls into windows that he probably shouldn't. He's just like one of those Brett Favre-type quarterbacks where he takes a lot of chances. But he could drop, he could drop passes into a bucket and go out and perform the way that he did in the last game. I think that's one of the things with this guy. One of the reasons why he probably doesn't play in games and why he hasn't started, like, I get it. Zach Wilson was the new guy coming in, but there were many a times where he could have actually went ahead, became the starter of this team, and been the future for this team. But my gut feeling is that he's very easy to kind of get to know. And if that's the case, I think we saw it last year with some division games, and maybe it was with New England and maybe it was with Buffalo, where he had really bad performances against those teams. So I don't know if that has something to do with it, but my gut feeling says to take the Vikings in the second half, that eventually they're going to start to learn this guy. And I think that's one thing that we've seen with him is that some of his second halves and haven't been all that great. So I would look at taking the Vikings in the second half. I like Mike White, to be honest with you, but the Jets going on the road here, I think is going to be a little bit difficult. And the Vikings, they're playing well. I mean, they got their rear ends handed to them against Dallas, but turn around, playing the Patriots the way they did on the holiday, beating them up, putting 33 points up against that defense. If you could do that against that defense, then you could probably still have some success here against the Jets. So for me, it would be play the Vikings in the second half. I think they'll figure Mike White out. I think Uncle Dave has mentioned this before. You know, you're not as good as your best game, and you're not as worse as your worst game. And I think we would agree that Mike White kind of played his best game last week. So he's not going to be that good again, especially not here on the road. So Vikings second half for me, I have no problem laying 1.5 or laying 2 with the Vikings in the second half. So give me the Vikings in the second half. How about you, Uncle Dave? How are you feeling about that game?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Steve here. And did you know that Vikings are the first 9-2 team to be negative DVOA? And that's actually negative by over 10 points less than any other 9-2 team has ever been. So, you know, I do think they're a paper tiger. You know, and I'm with you guys, so I think Mike White's all world and gonna, you know, have the Jets take off down the runway to cruising altitude. I doubt it. But they played hard without Zach Wilson last week, and that does account for a lot. And for all the negative press the Jets got with Wilson, they're still 7-4, still a playoff team. Looking ahead, they got winnable games enough to get to 10. That should be enough. They have the second lowest scoring defense in the AFC, only 2 points different than Denver, who is number one. And the Vikings, for a 9-2 team, they've only scored 5 more points than they've allowed. So I'm trusting that the Jets hold Minnesota, the run game, in check. And I think Sauce Gardner at least makes Jefferson look human. I didn't necessarily agree with that huge move upward in the total for no other reason. The last thing the Jets want is a shootout. So I like the under, and I like the Jets because they have nothing to lose. And I think Minnesota, you know, they're kind of all but assured of at least a first-round bye. So I think the sort of motivation edge might be slightly to the Jets. But I do like that under, and I did bet it at 46, Steve. But at 45, I would still bet it. But 44.5, I would not.
All right, so there you guys go with that one. Let's jump over to our next game. Here we have the Titans. We have the Eagles. Eagles going to be -5 total, 44.5. Kick it right back to you there, Uncle Dave. Titans, Eagles, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I don't know how I don't take the Titans here. And sadly for me, I was sleeping, not literally, but I missed 6.5, which I would have bought to 7 in a heartbeat. I mean, Tennessee's only loss that had margin was at Buffalo, and that was way back when they were still figuring themselves out and the Bills were rolling. You know, I think we get some value here because they lost to the Bengals too. But, you know, Cincinnati's finally playing a little bit more like last year's Bengals. And in fairness, if Henry doesn't fumble at the goal line, that game might have had a different outcome. So to me, it's recency bias, especially when you factor in how easily everyone saw the Eagles beat Green Bay. I mean, Philadelphia is much better defensively against the pass, but, of course, Tennessee wants the run. Titans are much better against the run. Titans are much better against the run, but the Eagles clearly have a much better vertical game. So who wins? Well, the weather looks pretty good Sunday at this point, which will probably keep me off Tennessee, especially not getting the number I wanted. But the Titans will want to shorten the game, as they always do. So what I will bet is the Eagles for the first half and probably the under. I mean, it looks to me like they're just begging for over money. And the Titans games, I think all but a couple have stayed under, like 7 of the last 8, I believe. So I like the Eagles if I'm going to take them for the first half. And I think I like the under a little bit better.
All right, there you guys go from Uncle Dave. How about you, Steve? What do you got?
Yeah, the Packers box score with the Eagles game, you know, says that they barely covered. But they were fairly dominant. They ran 30 more plays, gained 158 more yards, and converted 7 more third downs than the Packers. With a win probability of 87% chance in the second half, for the majority of the second half, the game wasn't really in doubt, wasn't as close as it appeared on the scoreboard. And putting up 40 points is extremely impressive on any given Sunday. But the Packers are worst at stopping the run. The best defense the Eagles have faced this season is the Washington Commanders against the run, and it just so happens to be their only loss. The Eagles' opponents this week, the Titans, are the best in the league at stopping the run. So I think that there's going to be some give and take there that Tennessee might have an advantage on that side of the ball. Tennessee has struggled a little bit defending those mobile quarterbacks. They faced the Giants, the Bills, and Kansas City, all Tennessee losses. But besides the Bills game, no team scored more than 22 points against the Titans. And under that assumption, I have to think that the Titans are going to keep this one close. So I pivot to the other side of the ball. And Philadelphia is the second best team against the pass, but only 24th against the run. And that's clearly what Tennessee wants to do. You know, the Eagles have added Ndamukong Suh, but they still gave up 5 yards per carry to the Packers. And Tennessee is just not a team that performs well analytically. They're 7-4 straight up and against the spread. They've been doing this the last couple of years that they outperform those numbers. So I do think there's value. I gave out +6, +5.5. I think there's value there. I just think there's dead numbers beneath it. So I'd wait to see if the 6 miraculously pops. Otherwise, maybe a half a unit on that. I kind of like Dave's idea about the first half of the Eagles. They always perform well in that first half.
It's tough for me to get to anything in this game. Like, I feel like the line's kind of right now at about 5. I would actually consider maybe playing Philly. I know a lot of people are probably going to come in here on Tennessee. I think that that's going to be the sharp side. But, you know, this team doesn't beat sound football teams. I mean, they lost against the Bills, the Chiefs, the Bengals. And then they beat up, they beat, you know, the Packers and the Broncos and the Texans and the Colts and the Commanders and the Raiders. But, I mean, not good football teams, not sound on either side of the ball. Like, you have to, this team, I think, struggles against a team that can do, you know, do things on offense and defense. And heading here into Philly is not going to be a picnic. And I think Philadelphia actually might get – maybe that was a wake-up call against Green Bay, even though they kind of beat them handily. There were times in that game where that game shouldn't have been that close. Green Bay's not a good football team. Been saying that all year long, and I think people are starting to, you know, finally realize that. But Philly's not going to be an easy out here. It's going to be a difficult game here for Tennessee. I would actually play Philly if I had to. As far as the total's concerned, no real lean to the total, so I'll go ahead. I'll call that a pass. So I lean here to Philadelphia. If I had to go ahead and lay points here, I would do that with them. So that's where I'm at for that one. Let's go ahead and jump over to the Steelers and the Falcons. Current line this game, we can call it a pick 'em. There are some Steelers -1 out there. There are some Falcons -1 out there. But let's go ahead, let's call it a pick 'em because I do see a few of those. We have a total of 42 in this game. Steve, I'll let you go ahead and rip and run on that one first. How are you feeling about that game?
Yeah, when the Steelers opened up catching 1.5, it was such an obvious danger spot with a low total and through 3-7. You have to take it. And I didn't, which is embarrassing. Both teams have found more success running the ball than passing. And both defenses are actually defend the run better than the pass. So I lean over under just right from the start there. And the Falcons offense is starting to sputter recently after starting the year off hot. And besides scoring 27 at home against Chicago, arguably the worst defense in the league at the moment, they failed to post more than 17 points against 11th, 20th, and 22nd ranked defense, according to Football Outsiders. So they are struggling a little bit on that side of the ball. The Steelers may be an average defense on the surface. You would think that maybe Mariota would have success, but when facing a mobile quarterback this year, they allowed 38 points to the Bills and 35 to the Eagles. Yet most of Josh Allen and Jalen Hurts' production actually came through the air in those contests. So I'm not really sure what to make of that. Is it because they can throw the ball and run the ball? Mariota really doesn't have that ability, and there certainly aren't those weapons on the outside that he would have, that they have in Philadelphia and Buffalo. On the flip side, Kenny Pickett's last two games were the best of the season. So is he trending upward? You have to think that as the season progresses, he's showing progression there. A lot of times you see defenses kind of figure out what a quarterback is as the season progresses. He's kind of bucked that trend a little bit. I know Najee Harris is hurt. He may not play. And frankly, I don't think it matters. He's one of the least effective running backs for Pittsburgh. With the Falcons defense susceptible on the back end with a better coach, I think I'd rather tease the Steelers. But in a game, I make the Falcons the slightest of favorites. I'd be comfortable teasing either way through 7. And I don't know what it is right at this moment, but earlier, Falcons were catching 1 point. So they were the teaser leg I grabbed there.
Yeah, a couple books have Atlanta -1, a couple books have Steelers -1. So that's kind of where the line's at right now. How about you, Uncle Dave? What do you got on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't spend a whole lot of time on this one because I really just don't like it. I mean, obviously, you know, the Steelers are on short rest and both teams aren't playing for anything. I thought maybe the Falcons might even try to see what Desmond Ridder could do. I mean, if I were Atlanta, I would do that just to see if he is the next man up. But either way, you know, I know Pittsburgh won Monday night, but did the Colts make them look better than they really are? I mean, it certainly seemed that to me. I mean, that was that was pretty pathetic, the Colts' performance on both sides of the ball. So I'm not buying the Steelers. I think if Najee Harris does not play, I would be inclined to take Atlanta, but that's about as far as I can go with that one. I mean, you know, if it comes down to a matter of trust, you know, do I trust Pickett to do that again? I don't know. The Falcons have kind of regressed to who we thought they were, but the upside is there. So, you know, I think I would base it on whether Harris plays. And if Harris doesn't play, I think I would take Atlanta.
I would probably play Pittsburgh here. And it's very, very slight lean. I think the one motivation for me here is that a lot of it has to do with Tomlin, you know, trying to end up having another winning year, not having a losing year. I know they have a lot of work to do in that department, but if they can get a win here, you know, and beating the Colts last week, you know, it's like and Pickett does look like he's turning around. Like the Steelers look like they're turning around. You know, they get Watt back. I don't want to say they look like a different team, but they do look slightly different. Like they look like they're maturing. You know, they got rid of Claypool. A lot of people might have thought that was, you know, kind of a bad move, but that Pickens dude is freaking good. I know the Najee Harris injury could be, you know, a little bit of a concern, but from what I saw, Pittsburgh looked like they ran the ball pretty damn well against Indy, and you know, Indy can't stop the run. So for me, I would take Pittsburgh. You just have to wonder if Atlanta 2-1 dimensional, and you have to rely on Mariota to throw the ball, you know, what that's going to look like. So, I don't know. I don't like this one either a whole lot there, Uncle Dave, but if I had to go ahead and take a side, it would be Pittsburgh to go ahead and string back-to-back wins together, which they haven't done at all yet this season. So, that's where I'm at for that one. All right, with that one wrapped up, let's go ahead and let's jump over to maybe the biggest game of the week, and we have the Chiefs, we have the Bengals. Current line in this game, Chiefs -2.5. We have a total of 52.5. Steve, I'll let you go and rip and run on this one. Chiefs, Bengals, what do you got?
I am very glad that you guys are letting me go first in this one because I want you to talk me out of this. I'm not even leaning. I play the over. Without much opinion on the side or my power ratings suggesting I should do anything with it, I literally just immediately looked at the total. The Chiefs ranked number one in offense. The Bengals ranked number seven. They both have top six in red zone efficiency. And I'm with the squares. I know it. I know, you know, there's going to be public money on this. But let's take a look at it. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily wrong. KC has scored at least 27 points in all but three games. And Cincinnati's defense may be ranked ninth in DVOA, but look at the quarterbacks they faced. Mitch Trubisky, Cooper Rush, Joe Flacco, Teddy Bridgewater, Lamar Jackson, Andy Dalton, Marcus Mariota, Jacoby Brissett, Baker Mayfield, Kenny Pickett, and Ryan Tannehill. That was a mouthful I probably didn't need to say, but what's important is only Jackson and Brissett rank in the top 10 in QBR, and 8 of those 11 quarterbacks that they faced this year either didn't come into the year as a starter or have been benched since they played them. Meanwhile, Patrick Mahomes is number 1 in PFF, 2 in QBR, and of course, he's the favorite to win the MVP. Cincinnati's year-long offensive numbers are also stunted. You know, they struggled to start the year, and after putting up 27 points in the failing to put up to over 27 points in the first 5 games, they have posted 30 or more in 4 of the last 6. Both games that they failed to miss that threshold came without star receiver Ja'Marr Chase, who's expected back this weekend. And for this season, in games where Chase starts, the Bengals have scored 27 points in 4 of the 5 games. Add in the fact that Joe Mixon practiced today and he could be playing in this game. They may have all of their playmakers back for this one. It's not a primetime game. I still expect the public to come on it. I mean, clearly you have 2 high-powered offenses. How could the public not back this one? I actually probably like the Chiefs team total over 26.5 at DraftKings a little bit more than the actual game total. But at 52.5, I have to play it over. Please, guys, talk me out of this one.
I'll let Uncle Dave try. Go ahead, Uncle Dave. You go ahead first on this one.
I don't think I can, honestly. I mean, if the Chiefs win this game, I mean, this is how big it is to them. If they win this game, they will win out looking at the rest of their schedule and have the best record in the AFC. So this is bigger than just the Chiefs and the Bengals to them. And the Bengals, on the other hand, have seemingly started to play to their potential. But their recent 5 or 6 winning streak, and Steve kind of alluded to this with the quarterbacks, has come against no teams over 500, except for the Titans win, which, as I said earlier, without a Derrick Henry fumble, might not be a win at all. So I'm not going to overreact to Cincinnati. In fact, going forward, they don't have a game left. I can safely say for sure that they will win, which includes next week's Browns game with Deshaun Watson back. So everything points to Kansas City. So for me, it's Kansas City or nothing. But I'm leery of their pass defense if, in fact, Chase is back. And, you know, everyone was on this over early and often. And honestly, I can't disagree, Steve. But the key number of 51 is gone. 52 is almost gone. So, you know, I don't think you can take worse than 52. It might end up 70, but obviously you're betting stale numbers now. So, you know, and getting the worst of it. But I do agree with Steve's over, and I like the Chiefs.
I think these two teams are, you know, waiting on that collision course potentially again. Obviously, Kansas City has revenge with Cincinnati going there and beating them last year. But Cincinnati figured out how to defend Patrick Mahomes. A couple teams actually did. And the second half against Mahomes, Cincinnati pretty much shut him down. Now, I'm sure they're going to come in here with a little bit of a different game plan, the Chiefs, to try to say, okay, you know, we can't let that happen again. But if the Bengals want to win this game, they have to win it with offense. And I'm not sure that they're going to be able to in this particular game. Chase is banged up, and so is Mixon. So I don't know where the points are going to come from here from Cincinnati, to be honest with you, because the Chiefs are not going to go out there and try to derive some kind of game plan to go out there and try to shoot out with this team. Like, the Chiefs have to be – in order to beat this Cincinnati team, the Chiefs' defense needs to be better. So I think a second look for these teams, they have to be on each other's radar. These games have to be circled. I actually think the Chiefs' defense comes in here and plays better. They play different, and they look to go ahead and get after Burrow as much as possible, confuse him. And if, you know, Chase and Mixon aren't healthy, that worries me. But I could see how a lot of people think that there will be points scored in this game. But for some reason, my gut feeling just says it's not the way to go, that these two teams are not just going to come in here and try to light it up and fire off against each other. Kansas City has to play better defense, and the Bengals, they have to try to at least continue the defense that they played against them last year. So that's where I'm at. I do lean to the under in this game. I know a lot of people are taking this over. The market's moving to the over. Currently, circa's up to 53.5. So it's just tough. It's tough for me to think that these two teams. And let me just say this about Kansas City. They're not the best team in the league. I'll tell you that right now. They are not. There's probably six teams better than them. I think Cincinnati on a good day could beat them. I think Buffalo can beat them. I think Miami could beat them. San Francisco, Philadelphia, and you can go back and say, oh, and even the Chargers. One thing about the Chiefs, they've beaten a lot of teams that have been injured all year long. San Francisco with no Christian McCaffrey, no Elijah Mitchell. They had no running attack. The Chargers with their wide receivers out, they just beat Bryce Perkins. They beat Malik Willis. If there's a paper tiger, I'm telling you right now, it's the Chiefs. They're not going to the Super Bowl. So if you have a ticket on them, consider throwing it out, because they're not going to the Super Bowl. I'm telling you now. I called it with this team last year. I'm telling you again, this is not the best team in the NFL. There are 5, 6, 7 teams better than this team right now. And it's going to show up. It's going to show up in the playoffs. And it might show up this weekend, but I actually like Kansas City, believe it or not, because I don't believe the Bengals are healthy enough right now. Chase has to get a couple games under his belt, and Mixon has to get a couple games under his belt. We haven't seen the best version of Cincinnati, but I believe we've seen the best version of Kansas City against teams that are banged up. So we'll see. But I do like Kansas City this week, believe it or not. I think they win this game. I think they cover the points, and I actually think they win this game comfortably, because I worry about the Bengals, where their mindset's at right now. Do they want to come in here and show this Kansas City team everything that they have? They just won 3 games in a row, and I know the season didn't start out great. But, you know, and to Uncle Dave's point, too, he makes a good point, that it's hard to circle wins on Cincinnati's schedule right now. And it's easy to circle a lot of wins here with Kansas City. Kansas City probably, there's a good chance they could run the table. So if Cincinnati kind of says, you know what, this is maybe a walkthrough with us, and I don't think they'll take that approach, don't get me wrong, but I don't feel the max motivation here with Cincinnati right now. And I'm really clued in with this team. Like, I've been really just keyed in with this team. I just feel some type of a letdown, a lack of focus. Maybe they don't want to show Kansas City everything. Maybe they want to get Chase and Mixon healthy and then make a big run, you know, the last 5 games of the season or something like that. I don't want anything to do with Cincinnati this week at all. But when push comes to shove, Cincinnati's a better team when healthy and going full throttle. So that's what I got on that game. I know it's a lot. It's a mouthful there. That's me. Let's go ahead and let's move over to the Browns and the Texans. Quite a bit on that game there. Browns right now -7, and we have a total of 47. Uncle Dave, I'll let you go first on this one. Browns, Texans. Should be an interesting one. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, you know, okay, I entered Deshaun Watson. You know, he's been allowed to practice for a few weeks, but He's had all season to know the playbook, so these are good things. But I'm not sure you can overreact to that. I mean, clearly the Browns have far more talent on both sides of the ball, but being 7-point road favorites might be hard to swallow when they haven't been a TD favorite all season. In fact, they've been underdogs in 6 of 7, and the one time they were favored, they lost by 23. So that'll get my attention. On the other side, there is the Houston offense, which has scored more than 20 points just once. You know, can it be that easy? I don't know. They've been 7 or more point underdogs 5 times, covered 4. The lone loss by the hook in Miami last week, and they almost backdoored that one. I'm not sure all that's enough for me to take Houston, but it is enough to keep me off of the Browns. I'm going to bet the under 47. It's a big number for a Texans game. 4 of the last 5 have stayed under. The lone over was by a point as 2 touchdown underdogs. You know, Watson hasn't seen actual game time, action speed, you know, in almost 2 years with somebody trying to kill him at the same time. And as much as he knows Houston and probably wants to crush Houston, the Texans know him as well as anyone in the field. It's probably mutual enough for me to bet that under. I mean, only 2 Texans games have gone over this number, and I don't think this is going to be the third.
All right. I have quite a bit of thoughts on this one. Do the Texans want to win this game? Do they want to risk a chance of blowing up, getting a number one quarterback and filling that hole for Watson? Davis Mills is not the answer. That guy's not good. He stinks. You know, the backup quarterback, I think we saw from him last week with Allen. Pretty pathetic. Here's the thing with Watson is that he's been with this team since the offseason. He's had plenty of time to go ahead and look through the playbook. I'm sure he's not just sitting on his couch. He returned back to practice already. He was practicing with this team in the preseason. And there's my honest opinion, he has plenty of reps to step right in this offense to not look rusty. And I think that's what a lot of people are worried about. If we're saying that this guy is, you know, a top 10, top 5 quarterback in the league, there should be no reason why he can't step in at his talent level. Like, if this was Patrick Mahomes, would we be doubting – would we really be talking about Patrick Mahomes being rusty right now coming in this game with all the, you know, time and stuff like that? So I actually think that Watson will come in here, and I think he'll play rather well. And look, I'm not sure if any of the guys on Houston even care that Watson's coming back, because he wanted out of Houston for a reason. A lot of players wanted out of Houston for a reason. A lot of it had to do with their bonehead head coach and the GM and stuff like that. But do these players even want to be on this team? Like, I could see if this was like a revenge type of game, but are they really going to take it out on a quarterback that really, I don't know, had nothing to do with what's going on with them this season? I don't know. It's just kind of where my mind's at right now. I think Cleveland rolls this team. I think Watson comes in here, and I think that this team understands, like, this is the future of our franchise. And look, like, dude's had a rough 2 years, and rightfully so, you know, with some of the things that he did or whatever the case might be. But they're going to rally around him, and he's going to go out, and he's not going to lay a dud. I think he'll play a pretty good football game, rely on that rushing attack. And he's got plenty of pass catchers out there to go ahead and catch the ball. And Njoku's healthy right now. I'm sure he's excited to go out there and throw the ball to, you know, Amari Cooper and guys like that. So I like Cleveland here. I would lay the 7 points. I would certainly tease them. I do not see Houston winning this game. They're too bad of a football team right now. So it's Cleveland for me in the teaser, or go ahead and lay the 7. I'm not opposed to that either. That's where I'm at for that game. How about you, Steve? How are you feeling about the Browns and Texans?
Houston Texans, bottom of my power ratings, dead last in DVOA, have an estimated win total of 0.8 despite being 1-9-1, and have every incentive to lose. This is a lot of the stuff that you folks have already been saying. They have very little talent on the roster and would benefit greatly from an upgrade at just for every position from player to coach. So those draft picks are very meaningful for them. And as Dave said, they've only scored over 20 points one game this year. And despite their 6th-rated special teams unit, there the measure of futility cannot be understated. Will they and their fan base, if they have one, get up for the return of Deshaun Watson? Is he viewed as the prodigal son that brought them happiness returning home, or persona non grata? And I really don't have the answer to that. I don't know what kind of reception he's going to see in returning to Houston. I would hope there's going to be some boost, but who knows? Either way, I don't think the Texans have the horses or the inclination to beat the Browns. But I'm much more concerned, I think, about Deshaun Watson's rust, more so than you folks. He hasn't played a meaningful game in 2 years. I know he knows the playbook. He's got practice reps. I think there's a difference between those practice reps and what he does come Sunday. And Jacoby Brissett himself, who he's replacing, has kind of been more of a catalyst for the Browns' success, whatever little that they've had, rather than be part of the problem. So I don't see his insertion into this lineup as being some kind of saving grace here. I consider the Browns team total under 27.5, but the Texans are also awful against the run. I mean, Watson could hand the ball off to Nick Chubb 30 times and he gets 200 yards and they post a huge number on the board. I don't know. I'm going to take a hard look at Watson's under passing yards. I think that's also should be a valuable play. For all those reasons, I can't play the Texans, and I don't feel comfortable laying the touchdowns because I think we're going to see a struggling Deshaun Watson out of the gate. I can only look towards a teaser with the Browns, and there's a ton of different options this week. Pick your poison with anybody going through 3-7.
All right, good stuff on that game. Let's go ahead and jump over to our last. We got the Chargers. We got the Raiders. Currently in this game, Chargers -1.5. We have a total of 50.5. I like the Chargers quite a bit here. Like, this has to be an all-in effort for them. Tough game with them next week against Miami. And, look, I get it. Like, the Raiders, they've won 2 games in a row, but big deal, you beat Denver in OT and you beat Seattle in OT. At some point, this team was going to win games. And I don't want to say they got lucky. They came back, fought back, won in OT. Big run there by Jacobs. Jacobs and Adams and Carr, you know, they're going to keep being games, but the defense worries me against the Chargers. Like, if you give me the choice to pick, and I think the Raiders are going to come in here with an all-in effort too. I mean, if they can win 3 in a row, hey, you know, that's awesome. But if you give me all-in effort from these two teams, like, I'll take the Chargers. I feel like they just have more weapons right now. They are the better team. There's more in the line for them. I just don't want to get fooled by trying to take the Raiders. We've seen them. We've seen what they've done this year. It's just tough for me to take the Raiders right now. It would be the Chargers for me or nothing, and I have no problem laying the 1.5. I think they actually could win this game comfortably. We've seen teams go into the Raiders stadium and beat them comfortably already this season. And they've played, 4 out of the last 5 games on the road? You got to wonder if they come down here, especially off back-to-back OT games. So I think a nice home game for them, but it just feels like it's a tough spot, let down. They know the season's over. They're not going to the playoffs, so I don't know. But give me the Chargers. In an all-in effort, give me the Chargers. They're the better team. And if Mike Williams comes back and a couple of the guys that were hurt, Derwin James and stuff like that, they'll beat this Raiders team. So for me, it's the Chargers -1.5. How about you there, Uncle Dave?
Everybody and their brother was on the Raiders early, and I kind of get it. I faded the Chargers big last week in Arizona, and, you know, I'm probably going to do the same again here, Sleepy. You know, if the Raiders have any sense of pride after winning in Seattle, I suspect they do. But this is a rematch from an earlier loss to Los Angeles. It's a division game, and, you know, I mean, the Chargers' defense is non-existent. It's actually, you know, kind of worse than the Raiders. And if the Raiders can rush for over 200 yards last week, not including the 80-yard walk-off in Seattle, they can do similar here. The Chargers' run defense is last in the NFL in yards per carry allowed. But with that said, the Las Vegas pass defense is a league worst in opponents' completion percentage. So I suppose it would be that simple to bet the over. You know, that's already accounted for. And, you know, I couldn't take the under, but it's probably too high now. But it'll be one of the most SpongeBob bets on the board, but it might be a winner. But I think ultimately, because I miss good numbers, if I'm betting this game, I'm teasing the Raiders back up to over a touchdown because I don't see either team being able to stop the other one.
I'd be with you with the over there, Uncle Dave. I think we do see points in this one. Like, the Raiders' offense has actually looked half decent the last couple of games. They're putting up 20 points a game, and you might only need 20 from them because I have a feeling like the Chargers could easily get to 30 here. So I would be with you with that too. How about you, Steve? I'll let you go ahead and wrap this one up. How are you feeling about the Chargers and Raiders?
Yeah, this is another defense optional game, like you guys mentioned. Raiders, the worst total rated defense, and also against the pass by a wide margin, which sets up as a smash spot for Justin Herbert, especially if Mike Williams can find his way back to health. I was actually surprised to see that he practiced today. Not to be outdone, the Chargers are the third worst against the run, which should provide plenty of opportunity for the league's leading rusher, Josh Jacobs, to feast early and often. I certainly don't specialize in totals, and when I play them, I prefer to play the under. But this is the second game that we talked about today that I'm leaning to the over, just like you guys mentioned. As far as the side goes, I make the Chargers a half-point favorite. The Raiders, after starting 2-7, they weren't on life support. Their season was dead. And apparently no one's told them because they won two games in a row against Denver and Seattle, both away. But now they're coming back home, which is actually a negative subset after winning those previous games. Conversely, the market's at 1.5, so there's an opportunity to tease a home dog, which is also a profitable trend. Especially considering the Chargers only had two games that were one-score contests this year, or that were not one-score contests this year, I do think there's some value to the Raiders here. But because I think there's such a strong lean to the over, I think there's going to be a lot of points, which creates that variance. It's going to make my card at some point, but I'm not rushing to the window to bet this one.
All right, good stuff from everybody on the podcast. That'll wrap it up. Good stuff there from Uncle Dave and Steve. You guys know where to find them on Twitter at Dave_Essler, at AvoidTheVig. You guys could always get me at SleepyJ_pregame. Get us at thebettingpredators.com and on the best sports betting information site on the web, pregame.com. With that said, I'd like to wish you guys all the best of luck for NFL week number 13. Enjoy the games.